actually means about 5 minutes left if you want to wind up or take questions.
I was thinking about this, well, I told it last time I was here about my sister. She's very sick, and she's 82, and she's always been very hypercritical of me, and she gave me a really trouncing with words a few weeks ago, and it was sort of like I couldn't believe it, but I couldn't say anything because I was so like shocked about it. But shortly thereafter, I was thinking of all kinds of answers and things I could have said to her. You know, like, come on, get off to her. Lots of things. And my mind just got stuck in that place of trying to think up something smart. Or something cutting, something. I had to say to myself, okay, you're not going to get out of this so easy. You got to stay with this. And then, since I was being understanding with myself, I decided I could say, may she be well. May she be happy. And that's a real switcheroo from trying to cut her down and give it back to her. And it's so every time these thoughts kept coming up, what I could have said, or just any thought of her, I right away quickly said, may she be happy. May she be well. And this is so tremendously helpful. I didn't say I'll take on all her terrible stuff, but I just wished that for her, and that seemed to do it. And now, I mean, it began to fade away, fade away. You know. So I'm thinking I could lay that on other people too.
Mobilization of defenses does not diminish fear. It kind of just creates a bulwark for, you know, for the fear to stay where it's at, but somehow to become defenseless. Something like Gandhi said, complete harmlessness and fearlessness go hand in hand. But when you're thinking, how can I get back? What can I say back to her to retaliate? And you're just creating a nice, cozy home for your fear, in the form of anger or retaliation.
That's and so all of that need to tell her that is just gone.
What Harriet did was remove the curse, but she didn't take in the negativity, which is what you're suggesting that we do.
I don't like the idea. Not this martyrdom business.
I disagree. I don't think it's martyrdom. It's the way to save all beings.
Yeah. Well, in the formal Tonglen practice, where you're visualizing taking in others' suffering and breathing it into your heart of self-cherishing, using imagination to kind of like open the heart through some sort of narrative that you're creating. But in the on-the-spot Tonglen, what you're doing is you're taking the energy that's already there, the afflictive energy that's already there, and transmuting it into a way to open the heart.
Oh, and that's what Harriet
did. I think that's what she's doing, yeah.
Good.
So, and the formal practice can kind of like prime you, so that when an afflictive mental state arises, you don't have a knee-jerk response of retaliation or what have you. If you do the formal practice, you're more likely, when something arises, to consider the possibility of transmuting the energy into an occasion for opening.
Taking it in and turning it into gold.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about an article. There's been a lot of talk that I've heard in the last week or so about war and rape. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I heard on the radio this morning, I mean, just such a terrible statistic that I hate to even repeat it. And mm-hmm. and immediately I just went to mm-hmm. aversion, uh-huh. you know, not wanting to take that in because mm-hmm. it's so painful. Uh-huh. And I see this reaction in myself a lot when it comes to, you know, the horror that other people are suffering in the world. It's just so difficult to have an open heart in the face of, for me, to have an open heart in the face of the things that other people are suffering. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, so it seems to me that practicing with it on my own suffering, you know, I mean, my own suffering is so pathetic compared to the suffering that's out there in the world. But so you know, I had read a lot about Tonglen and practiced it mm-hmm. within individuals, mm-hmm. which is more of a size I can cope with. Mm-hmm. But this is actually a much, I think, a deeper explanation of it. Although I still am not sure mm-hmm. I completely understand it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I feel compelled to say is no suffering is pathetic. No suffering is
so
pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And that fault line, I just re-emphasize, what's happening in Burma, what's happening in Darfur is not, in essence, different from the rage I felt on Highway 101 yesterday, trying to get to the mission district and knowing that, you know, looking at my watch every 5 minutes and getting frustrated because I knew I was going to be late. There was nothing I could do about it.
Hmm.
In substance,
it seems
that's
different to me.
Well, but that's but it. It's all a matter of love or fear.
Awesome.
It's all a matter of: are you closing down because of the suffering,
mm-hmm.
or are you somehow staying close and allowing for the possibility? Like yesterday, I can't say I was opening to what was going on,
mm-hmm.
but I was aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is suffering. This is frustration. This is, you know, a fairly significant state of frustration. And it's that pivot. It all hinges on that pivot. Are we justifying? Are we acting out somehow, which is a kind of turning away or giving in to fear? Or are we turning towards it? Are we trying to get close to it, not knowing what to do? The pillow's in the dark. We don't know how to reach it. We don't know how to solve anything. But are we looking? You know, like I was reading something or hearing somebody talking about love and loving other people, especially when they're in distress. And you don't have to know what to say. You don't have to know what to do. You have to know whether or not you're trying to come closer. And let that motion of coming closer, genuine willingness to come closer to the distress, or to the anger, or to the frustration, let whatever comes arise from that motion, whatever words you want to say to the other person, whatever. So, in your own life, your own sufferings, what's your motion? Are you turning towards or away? And you know, cumulative turning away creates a horrendous monster. You know, cumulative turning towards, I have some hope, or bring some hope. So there's no, you know, suffering is never petty. Suffering is always an occasion for love or fear.
Would you say that again? Suffering is always what?
Suffering is never petty. Suffering is always potentially an occasion for love. I'm saying it differently now. But that's the pivot. That's the important thing. And if we can use that pivot to let a little more love in the world, then how could it be petty? Regardless, if it's like being on the freeway, getting frustrated, if we can use that as an occasion to open a little bit, each, Mother Teresa said, what we do is just a little drop, but if we don't put our little drop in, the ocean will be that much less. So if we use suffering, it can never be petty, if we take advantage of the occasion.
But we always say, well, there's always somebody else that has it worse than we do, so it's okay that we're, but that's not correct. I mean, we all have it. We all have the same level of bad.
That's my thing about the fault line of suffering. We're connected. Dependent co-arising. We're all connected, and if we can open that, what did the Buddha say when he woke up? He said, "I and all sentient beings have attained enlightenment today." So if we're frustrated on the freeway and we learn how to like use that as an occasion to open to suffering instead of close down, that open, its exquisite peel permeates everywhere. It's like a hammer striking emptiness.
I wish I had a nickel for every time I take a bite out of a chicken, I start to feel bad for the chicken. It's real interesting. Mm-hmm. You want a piece of chicken and all of a sudden, you know where that chicken was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's no way out. The chicken is suffering, it's connected to me. Mm-hmm. Here I'm suffering with the chicken. And maybe I'm eating for the wrong reasons too. Don't eat chicken. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's
one more question, then we really have to.
I have to throw this out there. Eleanor and I, 2 weeks ago, were in Washington, D.C. for a 3-day teach-in on the global triple crisis, which is climate change, peak oil, and natural resource depletion, and species extinction. Mm-hmm. And I see what you're saying, we're going to be tested in the coming decades to make this a global thing, because one of the panels was about a global grand bargain, which means the negotiations that are going to be coming up in Bali, the UN is having a climate change gathering, convention in Bali to discuss negotiations for a treaty for what comes after Kyoto. Kyoto expires in 2012, and if we don't sign on to a treaty, a binding treaty to cap our emissions, and keep our the temperature below 2 degrees. We have 10 years, the climate scientists say, to stabilize carbon emissions. Mm-hmm. If we don't, then the temperatures will rise, and it'll be a catastrophic. We're already seeing the ice caps melting on Greenland and the glaciers melting, and that'll mean 3 or 4 meters, which is, I don't know, 15, 16 feet, all the land on the coastal areas will be inundated. Mm-hmm. And anyway, this agreement, the South, the North, the rich countries will have to open their hearts to the poor people that are more vulnerable to share our technology and helping them. Because China has 600 coal plants online, each one of those coal plants, no matter what we do personally, cut down our driving, to mitigate, bundle up our houses, this is going to negate anything we do personally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to spread out, this compassion, so that we understand that the suffering that's going to come from this. The situation we're in is it's dire, and I think it's urgent that we all act on some level. I mean, no matter what it is, especially she's putting me down now because I'm on a soapbox, but this is what I'm taking from Washington, D.C. to bring back to people that I know, because it's dire, and it's an emergency. I don't, you know, we're not feeling it personally, but we will, especially when peak oil hits.
Thanks for speaking out.
I think you are feeling it.
I am feeling it, because I know the suffering that's going to come. It's happening now. People are suffering. Bangladesh, the floods that are happening there, millions of people have to relocate.